They tried their very best. They tried their very best to keep him in that tomb. His body had been lovingly cared for by the women who loved him and stayed near him, and the men who'd secretly followed him but came out of the shadows with their love and their linen and their ointments. They placed him in that tomb with an enormous stone in front that no one person could roll away, and the Marys kept watch. And on the Sabbath day, there in the tomb his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. And for a time it seemed like death in the tomb had won, because what's more final than death, after all? Even so, the chief priests and Pharisees were nervous. Nervous the tomb wouldn't hold him. Not because they thought Jesus would rise, but because they thought the disciples might try to trick them and come in the night and steal the body and lie and say that Jesus rose again. So the priests and the Pharisees go to Pilate. Yep, the same Pilate who washed his hands of Jesus. The same Pilate who confined his body to that tomb. The same Pilate who's an agent of the enemy, Rome. They go to him and ask him, help us secure the tomb so no one can steal the body and lie and say Jesus came back from the dead. And they tried their very best. They really did. They posted guards outside the tomb. Maybe even Roman guards who would have been like the best in the world, soldiers. No one could get past them. They post guards and they seal the tomb. Means they got probably something like wax. Have you ever seen one of the sealing wax on a letter that covers it? And so you know if it's been opened, it breaks the seal and you know it's been opened. They'd put some sort of thing like that. Or if you don't know what sealing wax looks like, think about one of those jars where the minute you take the lid off, it pops up. And you're like, okay, this has been opened. They put this something like this on this tomb. Guard it, seal it. We will know if anyone gets into that tomb. They tried their very best. They had thought of all the possibilities except one. Alleluia! He is risen. Come on, let's practice this. Alleluia! He is risen. The tomb could not hold him. The schemes of the religious leaders with their guards and their seal and their extra secure tomb look downright silly and so small next to the mighty power of God. The tomb could not hold him. On that great resurrection morning, as the Marys come to the tomb after their Sabbath day of grief, as they arrive, as the guards stand tall, their armor glinting in the sunshine, stand next to the stone, down comes the angel of the Lord. Matthew could be like an action movie here. The angel's appearance is like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. And unlike the other angels we read about in Matthew, like the one who came to Mary or the ones who came to the shepherds, he hasn't come just to deliver a message, but to roll away that stone, to blast through that seal, that rock, so that all can behold and bear witness to the truth that the tomb is empty from the inside. See the place where he lay. Those poor guards, they experience just a taste of the mighty power of God and faint, as if they're switching places with the dead man they thought they were guarding. He's alive, they faint dead away. Imagine you're one of those guards. And you felt an earthquake and saw an angel, and you wake up, and despite the stone and the seal, the body is gone. What would you do? I suppose they could have been like the centurion, the soldiers who were at the foot of the cross. And in Matthew, there's another crazy earthquake when Jesus dies, and the centurion sees it and says, truly he was the Son of God. I suppose these soldiers could have done that. But these ones ran back to the priests and told them everything that had happened. What just happened? And the chief priests, by the way, they didn't have collars like this back then, but these were the religious folks who were supposed to be able to recognize Jesus. But no, they try to cover it up. They tell the guards, okay, say you fell asleep in the night and the disciples came and took the body. Just lie. And here's some money. Just lie. If you get in trouble, we'll cover for you. Take some money. Lie. They really did give it their best shot. But the tomb couldn't hold him, and the lies couldn't hide the truth. The truth that, hallelujah, Christ is risen. Rome, too, tried their very best. They tried their very best to make him dead. Crucifixion had always worked before. They had all the power of empire at their disposal. They had soldiers, they had money, they had control of the city, they had control of the marketplace. They terrified everybody and put down rebellions with the sword. They knew just how to intimidate people into submission. On Good Friday, we saw how they did that. They did their very best to give Jesus their very worst. Then there's Pilate, who knows Jesus is innocent but sends him to death anyway. There's the guards who abuse their power, mock him, beat him, who knows what else, humiliate him, they kill him, he died. They tried their very best. They'd thought of all the possibilities except one. Hallelujah! Christ is risen! Death itself could not hold him. Rome did to him the worst empires can do, and still do. But the death Rome deals is no match for the mighty power of God. Death could not hold him. Rome has no more power to harm him. The empire struck back, but the greatest weapon of empire is now rendered powerless. Romans 6 says this, "For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God." Well, when the women come to the tomb, they don't know that. They are deep in the throes of death. They knew death all too well. They had sat watch by the side of death, up close and personal. They grieved, truly. They did not know the ending of the story. And the angel arrives with a message, not for the guards. The angel comes, the guards fall over. But the message is for them. "Do not be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. I know you know death. Take courage, because death could not hold him. He's not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see." There's that call again, come and see. A couple of weeks ago, we heard someone else call out next to a tomb to Jesus, "Come and see." It was Lazarus's tomb. And they call out to Jesus, "Come and see where Lazarus's body lay. Come and see the death." Jesus comes. There's nothing to see but death until Jesus calls, "Come forth." But here, the angel summons them, "Come and see, not a body, but victory, the victory of our God. He has risen. Come and see." Rome did their very, very best, but death could not hold him. Hallelujah! Christ is risen. Death could not hold him, and hell couldn't hold him either. There are powers greater than empire at work in this story. There's the evil that crept into the garden way at the beginning in Genesis, that crept in. The powers and principalities, what Paul calls the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places, that from ancient times have sought to destroy every good thing that God has made, that are at war with God himself. The powers, too, thought they'd won. They got a day. They slew the Son of God himself. Church tradition holds that on that holy Saturday in which his body rested slain, Christ mysteriously descended to the dead, wherever that is. Wherever human beings go when they die, Christ went there. For a moment, it seemed like the powers of hell had won. They tried their very best. They'd thought of all the possibilities except one. Hallelujah! Christ is risen. Hell itself could not hold him. He went to hell and back and burst forth in glorious day. The great church father John Chrysostom puts it this way in his famous Easter sermon. He writes this: hell was in an uproar because it was done away with. It was in an uproar because it's mocked. It was in an uproar for it's destroyed. It's in an uproar for it is annihilated. It is in an uproar for it is now made captive. Hell took a body and discovered God. It took earth and encountered heaven. It took what it saw and was overcome by what it did not see. O death, where is thy sting? O hell, where is thy victory? There is now no place in heaven or on earth or under the earth that has not been touched by the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge. Many have died. Many die even now. A few have been raised only to die another day. But Christ our Lord has entered death and Hades and come out the other side, raised triumphant once and for all. He is not dead. He is not in Hades. He is not in limbo. He is not long decayed. We do not have the relics of his bones in any museum in the world. They are not there. The powers of hell tried their best, but Hades itself could not hold him. And so we say together, Alleluia, Christ is risen. The right hand of the Lord has triumphed. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord has triumphed. How great our joy. The tomb couldn't hold him. They tried their best. Death couldn't hold him. Tried its best. The very powers of hell couldn't hold him. They tried their best. Now what? That must have been the question of those first women and men encountering Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. Now what? But first, that joy, that overwhelming relief and awe. In Matthew, we read the women are afraid, yet joyful. I think we can understand what that feels like. And then Jesus finds them on the road. His very first post-resurrection words are for them. Do not be afraid. Go and tell. It's so interesting to me that Jesus is just repeating the message the angels already gave them. And yet it's in the going that they meet Jesus face to face and they worship. They fall at his feet. That is always the first response to an encounter with the risen Lord. Awe and worship. And then a job. Go and tell. There should be an Easter version of go tell it on the mountain, I think. Because that's what the women do. In Matthew's version, it's like Jesus rises, the women go and tell the disciples go and meet Jesus on the mountain, and then to them, too, Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Go and tell. Go and do. That is a big task. That feels daunting. It feels like Matthew jumped way ahead from the joy of he is risen. But that task is sandwiched in between two really important statements from the Lord. He says, all authority, all power in heaven and earth has been given to me. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In other words, the power of the resurrection, the power that raised Christ from the dead, the power the tomb could not hold, that death could not hold, that the powers of hell themselves could not hold, that mighty power is the same power at work in those who are in Christ here and now. That's why we're here. It's not some long ago thing. It is the Spirit of the Lord here and now in our midst, the Spirit of the risen Christ filling the church, filling his body. And so Paul writes to the Ephesians, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his inheritance, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. It's the same. And so, church, today we worship And today we bear witness to the risen Lord with boldness, with power. Do not be afraid. They tried their very best. They gave him their worst. But the powers of empire, death, and hell itself no longer have any power over those who are in Christ Jesus. None. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory. So, tell the world. Go tell it on the mountain in the power of the Spirit. Do not be afraid of hell itself. I close with the closing words of John Chrysostom's sermon. It is a classic for a reason, even however many years it is now since 400-something A.D. I'm not doing math in my head this morning. He writes this, "Christ is risen, and you, O death, are annihilated. Christ is risen, and the evil ones are cast down. Christ is risen, and the angels rejoice. Christ is risen, and life is liberated. Christ is risen, and the tomb is emptied of its dead. For Christ, having risen from the dead, has become the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen." Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.